All right, and once again, we are so excited to have Sister Letty, who will be speaking to us this morning. Sister Letty is a woman of many talents. She has helped us in so many ways. Just this morning, I was thinking of the many ways she's helped us, from our church kitchen to preparing food and serving food for different functions. She's helped us with our singles. She's worn many hats, and I know right now she has her hands full with Little Isis. We were just talking about that earlier this morning. What a blessing Little Isis has been praying. I still remember her at the altar praying under the anointing, and I know that has been a great blessing for Sister Letty as well. Sister Letty, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Good morning, everybody, the saints of the Most High. That's always pretty cool to hear who we really are at the end of the day. And, you know, about a week ago or so, a friend of mine posted this, and it hit me pretty hard. So I printed it out, and it's the author's unknown, but it's a conversation that a person is having with God. So I'm going to read it so you'll know that this person is asking God some questions, and he's answering them back. Hey, God. God says, hello. I'm falling apart. Can you put me back together? I would rather not. Why? Because you aren't a puzzle. What about all the pieces of my life that are falling down onto the ground? Let them stay there for a while. They fell off for a reason. Take some time and decide if you need any of those pieces back. You don't understand. I'm breaking down. No, you don't understand. You are breaking through. What you are feeling are just growing pains. You are shedding the things and the people in your life that are holding you back. You aren't falling apart. You are falling into place. So relax. Take some deep breaths and allow all those things you don't need anymore to fall off of you. Quit holding on to the pieces that don't fit for you anymore. Let them fall off. Let them go. Once I start doing that, though, what will be left of me? Only the very best pieces of you. I'm scared of changing. I keep telling you, you aren't changing. You are becoming. Becoming who? Becoming who I created you to be. A person of light and love, charity and hope. A person of courage and joy, mercy and grace, compassion. I made you for more than the shallow pieces you have decided to adorn yourself with, that you cling to with such greed and fear. Let those things fall off of you. I love you. Don't change. Become. Become who I made you to be. I'm going to keep telling you this until you remember it. Oh, there goes another piece, Lord. Yep, let it be. So I'm not broken? Of course not. But you are breaking like the dawn. It's a new day. Become. That was so powerful when I read it. I had to sit, talk to the Lord for a little bit. And you know, I remember when, before I was born, the devil didn't want me to become a living person. When my mom was 6 months pregnant, my dad kicked her in the stomach because he was upset. I was baby number 7, but there were 6 years between me and my sister. So totally unexpected. And he wasn't a nice guy. And she thought that she was going to lose me. So I was born full term. That's 9 months. But there was a lot of complications when I was born. They rushed my mom to the hospital, and for some reason, I just was not being born. And back then, they had to get the consent of the father to do a cesarean. And he was at work, so they were getting him to come. And by the time he came and signed the consent forms, I had been 20 minutes in the womb without breathing. So you know, if anybody knows anything, all the afterbirths, everything happened, except I was still in my mom's belly. So the doctor was talking to my mom and said, Mrs. Jimenez, your baby has been without oxygen for 20 minutes. When somebody's not there for 10 minutes, they have brain damage and, you know, she's probably just going to be a vegetable and just, you know, nothing. And she goes, please, you know, please move forward. So they took me out and I was blue and they had me on a table next to my mom. So they're, you know, hitting my little heart and trying to get my arms moving to get my heart beating. And he's looking at me and he goes, Mrs. Jimenez. And she goes, you know, I'm fine. He goes, I know, because you have six other kids. You don't know. What if she just stays like this? If she's just in a vegetable state? And she goes, I don't care. And my mom, you know, she was Catholic, but I'll tell you what, whatever my mom lived and whatever she believed at the time, she believed it with all she had. And she prayed and she said, God, if you will let her live, I will dedicate her back to you. And sure enough, it got my heart beating. And, you know, they said, you need to bring her back after a year, we have to do some blood tests, and then after another year, we got to do some more. And after about the third year, they're talking to her, and she goes, well, she's just like all my other kids. She's talking, she's running around. There is no difference. I am not coming back anymore to get her tested for what you think might happen to her. God performed a miracle, and she's here, and she's doing fine. And there was definitely a miracle, and the devil did not want me to become whatever I was supposed to become in the Lord. And, you know, we were Catholic, but that's the thing. God knew. God knew the heart. And God, you know, what can I say? All through my life when I was young and little, there's always this, like invisible cord wrapped around my heart tugging me towards God. You know, I first wanted to become a nun. And, my mom didn't pressure me to do anything. She didn't really tell me about her dedication to me till I was, you know, when I can understand and ask questions. I was just the seventh kid, right? And I can remember wanting to figure out how do I become a nun, because it was just the tug of the Lord that she had given me back, like Samuel, back to the Lord. And then we eventually, you know, God talked to her and we went to Charismatic and we did the same thing. Just jump full board into it. And I was going to go to Billy Graham Bible College and just didn't understand. And, the devil threw different things along the way. You know, I was molested when I was young and anything to do to trip me up, to not become, to not continue to reach for God. And there were times, you know, the scripture, Job 30:19 says, he has cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. And there are many times, saints of God, that you feel, and you might be, you're in the dust and the ashes. You feel like there is nothing left, that who are you, right? And where, how have I become this, and how did I end up here? But it's like this poem. There are things that we cling to and we pick up those pieces back up that the Lord is trying to say, hey, shed those off. You don't need that. And it took me a long time to release some inner emotional stuff that happened as I was growing up and to allow the Lord to heal me. But, you know, there's another scripture, too, that's in John 1:12 that says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if you did just stop it right there, he gave you power to become. To become what? So that's the thing that you need to begin to reach. And sure, you know, I've, as Brother Vic says, I've done a lot of things. I was just talking with Isis not too long ago about how many years I did Sunday school. With me and my friend Terry from Texas, we were just like a tag team. And we did it for years. As our kids were in Sunday school age, we were in Sunday school. and just taught them for years, and then all the junior camps, and then when I was back east in Tennessee, we were the youth leaders, and then just teaching all the, you know, the college and career and Bible studies and reaching for people and, you know, fasting and praying. And, you know, and there were times when I just kind of, you know, slowed down the last couple of years for nobody's fault but my own. I allowed myself at times to sit in the ashes and to pick up pieces that the Lord was trying to let me pull off, because it doesn't matter how old we are or how long we've been living for God. I got the Holy Ghost in 1981. And you have all these experiences, and you tend to, sometimes you just may relax, and sometimes you lose a purpose for whatever reason, and you just feel isolated. And I think through this time, God has been allowed us to shed some more stuff and reminded us that we have so much more to give. And saints of God, you have so much more to give, to become in Him, to let go of that stuff. If it's come off, if you've lost friends, if you've been hurt, just let it go. And then later on, what stays and you can pick it back up, that might be something. You know, when I was molested, I didn't tell anybody till I was like 41 years old. Not a person knew about this, but I dealt with it for, I think about it every week. It's weird. It would just come up. But when I finally went to the Lord and said, I need you, I thought, what's the big deal, Lord? I should be able to get over this. It hasn't happened. And that was like a lifetime ago, Lord. But He knew I wasn't healed. So when I gave it to Him at the altar and He began to heal me, and finally I think the first person I ever told was Sister Ponce. And it was so hard. I talked to myself for long days before I ever called her and just said it. And from then on, I've told other people, but it was embarrassing. It was it my fault? Whatever, you know, all the things that go through your head. But now I realize that since then, I've been able to help other people through that. So I was able to pick that piece back up of my life. When God, I let it go, it stayed there. God let that big wound heal, and I was able to pick it back up to help me to become a person that can help somebody else heal in this situation. And so those are things that you may eventually pick back up, but you may have to allow God to heal you first. So saints of God, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. I love you all. Thank you.
And Sister Letty, it has. This has been powerful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Letty. And, you know, as Sister Letty was speaking to us this morning, I couldn't help but to think, how many things about each other that we just don't know, but we need to learn. And as we begin to learn these very personal things about each other, it begins to create a stronger bond of unity within our church. And that's exactly what we're needing right now, church. So once again, thank you, Sister Letty. This was powerful. And the other comment I want to make here is, today we also learned Sister Letty, a nun. You know, I think she makes a better apostolic Pentecostal, everyone. Praise God. With that said, church, why don't we just thank God for, that's right. Why don't we thank God right now for what we've heard? Lord Jesus, thank you for Sister Letty. Thank you for her family. Thank you for her granddaughter. Thank you for everything that she does for you, for the kingdom of God, Lord. And I hope and pray that this thought that she gave, Lord, will begin to permeate and sink deep within our minds and our hearts and our spirit, Lord God, so that we can be able to share with each other these very personal things to help each other so that it'll benefit someone else. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord God. Praise God, church. We're excited about what God is doing, and tonight we're going to be hearing for Brother Stephen Orell on this same line at 7:15 p.m. We will see you all back here. God bless you. Have a great day.